This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Our next guests are from the Weird Sisters Theatre Company. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Hi there.
Before we talk about some of the amazing things you're currently doing, what's brought you all to this point? I should say there's three of these lovely ladies. Obviously, I've mentioned your name. I haven't mentioned your names yet. Should I mention your names? Let me do that. Tanya Chaney, Alison Nicol, and Steph Goodfellow. So, Steph.
Well, I started doing amateur dramatics when I was six. Very, very long time ago. And I've always just loved it and ended up actually training as a teacher, a drama teacher. And then got into directing really through that, doing lots of community projects, and then eventually sort of working my way up really through the ranks.
So you've always been in that industry basically since?
Yes, either as a teacher or facilitator. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tanya?
Well, I happened to bump into Alison, and she bumped into Steph, and then we bumped into each other, which was very useful. We kind of all discovered that we wanted to do the same kind of thing, so that was theatre that provoked. What am I trying to say?
Discussion and thought. And
thank you. Yes. Thank you, Alison. Yes. You're discussion right. And thought, which I have none of at the moment. We basically discovered that we were on the same page, as in we wanted to do stuff that was engaging, different. It may not fill theatres, but it was something that we were passionate about. And so we came together and we were Weird Sisters.
As Tanya was saying, we'd all reached a point, I think, where we'd been acting for a while and doing various things. I actually was a lawyer many, many years before that and had left that. So I'd left that and we had certain, you know, life restrictions and kids and various different things meant that there was a limit to how often we could go up to London, for example. So we really wanted to create our own work and create our own theatre on our terms in a way that would work for us, really. Sure. And as Tanya said, we sort of found in each other the same sort of drive and this wanting to make the same types of theatre. And so it was great when we did find each other and realised that that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to kind of work together.
Looking around and obviously you don't look anything like each other, so you're obviously not sisters.
No.
So first question is, where did the name come from? Responsible for that?
It started because Ali was performing in Macbeth. She was playing Lady Macbeth. And we started our sort of workshop sessions and started meeting and looking through plays together while Ali was performing in Macbeth. And it just felt quite right. We didn't want to call ourselves the Three Witches because we felt that might give a slightly the wrong impression.
Okay.
But we did feel that there's a lovely connection between the Weird Sisters in Macbeth and this sense of being somewhat sort of outside the norm, outside the conventional, sort of standard kind of society. And we do feel, certainly it's changing, but we did feel quite strongly that for women particularly, we are marginalised in theatre or have been historically. And so it felt not just that it was, coincidentally, it was appropriate, it was a fun name, it was the three of us starting it together, but it seemed apt for what we were trying to do, which was sort of challenge those conventions that it's a male-dominated world and women are sidelined as, you know, peripheral sort of characters, and so really, yes, it started as a bit of a joke, but actually, you know, we felt the name really fitted.
It's a great name. It's a great name, and obviously the 100-year anniversary of women getting the vote this year.
Of course,
this year more than ever is going to be your year.
Indeed.
So how do you decide which shows you're going to do? I know the first show that you did was Fear Emergencies by Martin Crimp, but how do you choose or, you know, decide what you're going to do and what you're going to perform?
Well, we started back in 2014, and that was us meeting with Steph, principally bringing a
suitcase
full of plays, and we sat together and we talked and we got to know each other, partly through reading through these plays, and there were so many that we read, didn't we? And you're a huge fan of Martin Crimp and Fewer Emergencies, and we read that a few times, and Tanya and I weren't so sure, and you just loved it, and really, and so we went back to it and read it again, and then we kind of clicked with it as well, didn't we, Tanya? Yeah. And that's when we thought, actually, yeah, let's do it, let's do it. And we performed, the first performance was February 2015. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, so we really spent a year reading plays, and that's how we do it. I mean, I sort of set myself up at the National Theatre Bookshop, and you know, just spend days.
To get from actually reading it to perform, to stepping out onto that stage, that must have been quite a baptism of fire.
It certainly was with that play, because as with much crimp work, I had previously performed in a crimp play in London, and so had learnt a little bit about his style, but there are no character descriptions. I mean, the characters are just numbered. There are not even character names. There are no stage directions. So it really was a blank canvas, which was wonderfully liberating. It meant we could do anything with it, but of course it meant that, you know, we had to do a lot of work, yes, you know, to create a whole coherent piece. Mm.
Was there a fear that, you know, if we build it, will they come, sort of thing? In other words, we're going to do this amazing production.
And being the first, our first production of anything.
Of course. Yeah.
So definitely. But we got...
So arms around, up the back for family and friends and everything.
Absolutely. That's how it started. Yeah. And we still have to do that. You still have to kind of round up the troops and get the support network there helping. Yeah. I think we were quite lucky with Fewer Emergencies, because although Martin Crimp's well known in London, it's not often done in the regions. And so I think people were quite intrigued. It's a very, very unusual play. It's a non-linear narrative. And in fact, actually, there is no narrative. It's these broken up sort of little pieces of narrative. And so what we found was a lot of the audience who don't experience this kind of thing in smaller regional venues were so surprised by what the play gave them, and went away realising that theatre could do something other than just tell a story, you know, than just tell a beginning, a middle and end. So it was really exciting for us, and of course and our audience, and it gave us that big leg up, because I think from there on in, audience came along expecting us to do something a bit different, something a bit unusual. Absolutely. So I think it was quite a good vehicle for us.
The unconventional setting as well, so it's not audience, gap, stage. We're amongst the audience, and it's very much, I think people were watching it thinking, are they acting now or are they not acting now? Which, again, it's nice to be able to watch something and have questions, you know. So you're, and at the end, people will come up to us and say, so did he die, and was he related to, and did I? And a lot of people would say, we loved it. Didn't understand everything, but we loved it, and that was brilliant for us, you know.
So you actually sit amongst the audience in that one, the first play.
At times, yes. And we would sort of film each other from the audience, because we set it up as though we were a team of writers trying to create a show, and so it was very much as though we were in a rehearsal room playing around with ideas, which meant that we would go into the audience and film each other whilst, you know, workshopping a few scenes or what have you. So, and it was one of those things that we could have done in any space at all. It wasn't space site sensitive, which meant that we could have done it without any kind of theatrical setup, because it was about three normal people sitting down to try and create something.
And so, Alison, would you play more than one character, for example, in the plays, or do you tend to just have one character part in each play that you do?
The ones that we've done
so far, one character.
Yeah. Although Fewer Emergencies is one of these that, again, we're still working through it, because it's one that we're thinking of reviving, actually. But with that one, because the characters had numbers, as we said, it was quite an important play for us, I think, as a first play, for us to learn about each other and about the characters. And these characters you can reinvent, you know, so many times we did, didn't we? When we were workshopping it, we would think about the characters, think about their backstory, because nothing is given. So we could really sort of reinvent ourselves and reinvent the characters and see what worked, play around with them, and you know, we still can. It's got that potential.
So Air Swimming is going to be shown, or you're delivering that on the 2nd of February. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yes, indeed. That's, we've been touring with that, for quite a while now, almost a year, I would say. We went to Edinburgh with it last year, and since then have been on a tour with it to various places like Birmingham and North Wales, and we don't seem to choose our tour schedule very well, so we seem to be going from one end of the country to the other. But we restaged it for a recent performance that we did at Farnham Potteries, which is a lovely, lovely little venue, and so we're still kind of reinventing it and still working on it, and it's still evolving as a piece.
Well, I want to read a review that I read from your website, which I thought was wonderful. It says, "Just seen these amazingly talented ladies in their production of Air Swimming at the Yvonne Arnault in Guildford. Wow. Heart-wrenching and hilarious in equal measures. Stunningly engaging performances, drawing us into the hearts and souls of such beautifully complex characters. I can't wait for the next production from Weird Sisters." Wasn't your mum's or dad's?
No, we've been really overwhelmed, I think, by the response that we've had. Mm. You know, we first performed at Brighton Fringe in 2016, and very nervous about how it would be received. And we got a nomination for best production, I think, in the Fringe.
Broadway Baby. Four and five star reviews.
And we were just overwhelmed, because for us, everything that we do, we put so much into it. Exactly. Yeah. So it feels so personal when you put it on, and so to get such great reception.
Yeah, and that's just one of many. I mean, obviously there are many.
We've had some incredible reviews, and of course, one takes a risk, because there's no guarantee, just because we like the play and we invest in it, that the audience is going to respond to it. But we've been really fortunate that the audience has really, really picked up on the work that we've been doing, which is great.
I think because of the nature of the play as well, we've had people really moved by it, such that they've stayed behind and kind of said, "Oh, that was wonderful. I was crying during that. I was laughing, but I was crying, and we're so moved." And I remember up in Edinburgh, we had a couple of ladies that were really moved and saying, "This is such an important story. You must tell this story. Mm. Keep telling these tales."
Well, some of them were actually saying that they had worked in places similar to this, and very recently, the 80s. Mental health.
So tell us the story about Air Swimming.
And that's what's so wonderful about the play, because it covers sort of two timelines. It spans a period of 50 years, during which time two women are incarcerated in an asylum for what were perceived as crimes, one having a child out of wedlock and one as a cross-dresser, essentially. They were left there in the early 1920s and were abandoned, forgotten by their families, and lived there for 50 years and eventually released in 1972, I think it is. and it's based on real events. So it was a headline in a newspaper that the playwright saw, Charlotte Jones, about these two women. But from that, what she does is then, rather than explore just the issues of mental health and incarceration and that awful kind of loneliness and madness that can come from such isolation, what she does is explore this idea of the power of creativity and the power of friendship and the power of the imagination to escape the mundanity. So you've got these two parallel narratives. You've got the girls in the asylum alternating with these scenes in which they've created this fantasy existence for themselves, where one of them pretends to be Doris Day and one of them pretends that she's a sort of military character and is reading all sorts about sort of military history and things.
Oh, and trepanning.
And trepanning. Yeah. So you've got this wonderful contrast between this bleak, difficult period in our social history with a wonderful kind of slightly surreal, very, very funny, engaging fantasy land that the two create, which balances it so nicely. So it's a wonderfully comic production, and yet the poignancy and the terrible sadness comes from the context, the fact that these women are locked away. And that's what we found. Mm. So many people came forward saying, "I worked in places like that. My auntie was in a place like that," And in fact, what we're going to try and do is collate lots of these stories and put a bit of a history together, because I think it is a forgotten history.
Yeah, you're right, actually. I live in Epsom. In Epsom, we've got four hospitals for mental health. They've all closed down now, but similar sort of stories to that. Mm. Did Charlotte Jones know that you were going to put the play on?
She did. She did, and she has very kindly given us the rights to perform it when and wherever we want. Yeah. I think she's just really pleased that you know we've brought it because it hasn't been performed for quite some time. Mm. So I think she seems quite happy with us doing the show, which is great.
So you're performing that on the 2nd of February, what's next for the Weird Sisters? Because we're running out of time. I'm conscious about that.
More air swimming, hopefully continue that tour and also get a few emergencies back on the road. So hopefully we're going to take that up to Edinburgh in a big venue and then get a tour based on that. So really we want those two shows on the road. Meanwhile, we start reading from the suitcase again for our next play.
Well, hopefully you'll come back and promote the next one that you do, because I'd love to come to the next one. Unfortunately, I can't come to the one in a second because of book club, as I mentioned.
Fair enough. Literature must come first.
But before you go, what advice would you give to any listeners out there thinking about joining AmDram but thinking, I couldn't do that? What would you say to them?
Do it.
Yeah.
No question. There's something for everyone in amateur dramatics, and it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. Socially, it teaches you incredible skills about teamwork and discipline, and also confidence as well, being able to stand up on stage.
Sure. Yeah. And if listeners want to get tickets for your next event, how do they do that on the 2nd of February?
So they need to go to the Riverhouse Barn Arts Centre website, which is www.riverhousebarn.co.uk.
Thank you very, very much, ladies. So that was Tanya Cheney, Alison Nicol and Steph Goodfellow from the Weird Sisters Theatre Company.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.